Adirati Sanvatteo Maesau Pappo Bhavijan Manutsu Dara Samudvijay Bhavadeto Kamsanaham Adirati Janmate maya saupapo Bhavijyan manusudana Sambhutuje mamadeto Kamsara haumadirani Janmate maya saupapo Bhavijyan Madhusudana Samudvijay Bhavadvito Kamsaraham Madhirani Tanvante Mayasaumapo Bhavijyan Madhusudana Samudvijay Bhavadvito Kamsaraham Madhirani Janmate Maya Saupapo Bhavijyan Madhusudana Samudvijay Bhavadvito Kamsaraham Adhirani. Ladies. Janmate maya saupapo Bhavijyan Madhusudana Samudvijay Bhavadvito Kamsaraham Adhirani. Janmate maya saupapo Bhavijyan Madhusudana Samudvijay Bhavadvito Kamsaraham Adhirani Janma, the birth, te, of your lordship, mai, in my womb, sao, that comes, papa, extremely sinful, Bhavijat, may be unable to understand, Madhusudana, O Madhusudana, Samudviji, I am full of anxiety. Bhavadheto, because of your appearance. Kamsat, because of Kamsa, with whom I have had such bad experience. Aham, I, Adirati, have become more and more anxious. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Madhusudana, because of your appearance, I am becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kams. Therefore, please arrange that the sinful Kams, to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Purport. Devaki addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Madhusudana. She was aware that the Lord had killed many demons like Madhu, who were hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than Kams. Yet because of affection for the transcendental child, she believed that Kams could kill him. Instead of thinking of the unlimited power of the Lord, she thought of the Lord with affection, and therefore she requested the transcendental child to disappear. They want me to read text 30 also. Apasadhara Vishvatmam Adorupam Alukikam Sakka chakragana padma shriya jvastum chaturbhujam upasarhara. Might as well do the words. Withdraw. Vishvatmam. O all pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ada. That. Rupam, form, alukikam, which is unnatural in this world. Shankar Chakra Gada Padma, of the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. Sriya, with these opulences. Dastam, decorated. Chaturbhujam, four hands. Translation, O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental forearm form, holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child, so that I may try to hide you somewhere. Purport. Devaki was thinking of hiding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not handing him over to Kams, as she had all her previous children. Although Vasudev had promised to hand over every child to Kams, this time he wanted to break his promise and hide the child somewhere. But because of the Lord's appearance in this surprising four-armed form, he would be impossible to hide. Om Agyarati Vrindasyanjana Jan Sakya Chakshuru Vita Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namaha. So since it's Bhagavad Gita Day, I thought I'd open the class with the four main shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. And it's all relevant and all mixes together here. Aham sāvasya prabhavo utāsavam pavātate iti vākma vijati mam buddha bhava samāvitaha. So Krishna says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly worship me with all their hearts. Matita bhagata prara bodhiyata parasparam katiyatas tuam vityam vijati cha ravati cha. Their thoughts dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. So, we get a lot of happiness from this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And I just wanted to mention that this process goes on eternally. They even do this in the spiritual sky. They have morning and evening programs, apparently. So this is going on. This is not something that we just do that Prabhupada just arranged. This is going on eternally, all these morning and evening programs. And in the spiritual sky, according to some of the books by the Goswamis, by Yoga Maya's arrangement, they forget some of these pastimes. So Krishna's always appearing. He's, as he goes through the universe, but even in the spiritual world, they know about all these pastimes. They discuss them day and night. And for instance, the pastime of when Akrura comes to take Krishna and bring him to Mathura. This goes on all the time, but what happens is that Yogamaya makes him forget. So after a long period of time, Akrura comes again, and they forget that he came previously. So Akrura comes again, and this pastime goes on. And even when they hear these pastimes, They're so absorbed. When Radharani hears the pastime being discussed by some great transcendental personalities in the spiritual world, and she hears that Krishna is leaving for Mathura, she'll faint. She'll faint during that pastime, and they'll have to bring her to and say, no, no, Krishna's right here. Krishna didn't leave. We're just telling the story. And she'll look and see Krishna, and she'll become very happy, and she touches his lotus feet like that, and she's pacified that way. So they're just absorbed. When they hear the pastimes, they're very absorbed in the pastimes. And we're trying to gradually come to that stage. That's our purpose in the Krishna consciousness movement. So how are we going to come to that stage? So the third verse is... Anyway, let me continue on. Krishna is appearing in this form of Vishnu, Narayan. So, he's a very incredible form, and that's what they're seeing. So, Devaki also wants to see Krishna in this form. She has this motherly affection for Krishna. So, Devaki wants to see Krishna in that eternal form where he's her child. And, of course, these are the eternal pastimes going on, so they have to have a form by which she can continue the pastimes and bring the child to Mother Yashoda and gradually all of Krishna's babyhood pastimes can go on. This is the plan of the Lord, and Yoga Maya is operating in such a way to facilitate all these pastimes that are being done one after the other eternally in all the different universes and also in the spiritual sky. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for the sincere souls. There's four types of people that approach Krishna consciousness. Those in need of money, those in great misery, those who are curious, and those who are seeking the absolute truth. So Krishna is revealing himself gradually to his devotees. So how do we know that Krishna's God? Sometimes people will forget. They'll say, how do I know that Krishna's God? So once we're brought here by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he gives us a process. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. But along with Guru, the Guru introduces the whole chain of disciplic succession. Prabhupada introduced us to hundreds and thousands of great saintly personalities. So sadhu, Guru, sadhu, and then these shastras, these transcendental books, if one reads them carefully, one will more and more and more realize Krishna. We can't expect that Krishna's going to stand in front of us. Sometimes they say, well, if Krishna's real, why doesn't he stand in front of me? Well, he actually does, but that's also part of the process that you have to have some faith in the Archamurti. So Krishna is here. Krishna is in our heart. Krishna is everywhere. He's the source of everything we were just reciting. So Krishna, you can't demand that he appears. You have to become qualified. And then gradually, more and more, you will understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And someday, when we surrender completely, we'll become part of these transcendental pastimes. Even now, the position that we're getting is very, very fortunate. Mangala Jiva. I mean, who could be as fortunate as the devotees who are actually learning who God is, who Krishna is? There's no information like that in the material world. Nobody, in all the shastras, the only one that is taking the position of God is Krishna. Nobody else is running for that post. You won't see it in any other religion. No, they have no idea who God is. They were even telling a story, one of the devotees told me this morning, that when Prabhupada went to this church in Toronto, they had a little book there about what does God look like. So Prabhupada's, either the devotees, one of them wanted to show it to Prabhupada. Anyway, Prabhupada looked at it, and there was no information. They said they do not know who God is. So there's no information. So we, as devotees of the Lord, as devotees of Lord Krishna, we have to be, we have to preach this message to the world, because everyone's being cheated. Everyone's being cheated. There's no information about what God looks like. So they just come up with something, and they say he's an old man with a beard. When we say he's a transcendental cowherd boy, bluish color, and he has his friends, his family, people will challenge, oh, that's not, I don't believe. But why don't we challenge? Where does it say anywhere that he's an old man with a beard? That doesn't exist anywhere. There's no shastra on that anywhere. So we're following sadhu, guru, shastra, and that's how we understand that Krishna is God. I mean, we have to accept. The guru tells us, and not only that, but our whole experience of coming to the Krishna consciousness movement, for most devotees, I don't know all devotees, but most devotees that I've talked to, it's very mystical, magical experience that Krishna makes so many arrangements in so many different ways to bring all his parts and parcels back to, hearing from his representatives and hearing from his shastras and hearing from the vast ocean of transcendental sadhus that have been here and on other planets and all over the universe giving this information. So we have to develop a little faith. But when we don't follow, sometimes we start losing our faith. You can lose it very rapidly too, like you know the story about Bharat Maharaj, that he started to become affectionate to a deer, that he forgot everything about Krishna. He said within a few days he forgot everything. Of course, this is a transcendental pastime, but at the same time, Bhagavatam is teaching us that we have to be careful not to develop affection for other things. This is the whole idea. She has great affection for Krishna, so she wants him to take that form of a baby Krishna so that she can help save him by bringing him to Mother Yashoda. So she has that affection. So affection is everything. And in the material world, we have affection for so many things non-Krishna. So this affection for non-Krishna will gradually diminish our devotional service if we become too much affection. And it happens. Don't think it doesn't happen. It definitely happens. It's definitely easy to do. There's so much other things that we can become attracted to. Now, Krishna is the only thing that will give us that real satisfaction that we're looking for. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "When one, you'll get a thrill at every moment. Life will be a thrill at every moment." Now we're trying to get a thrill from some relationship with a man or a woman, but they even have songs where they sing, "The thrill is gone." The thrill doesn't last forever. So we want the real thing, and we tend to Krishna's established this whole universe based on his desires. So whatever these perverted reflections, Krishna, this is going on in the spiritual world, there's affection. Krishna has his children, Krishna has his wives, Krishna has his girlfriends, Krishna has grandfather, father, all his mother, all these things are there. That's why we desire these perfect relationships, because Krishna has a perfect relationship in all these. And all the emotions, all the sentiment, everything we're experiencing is because we're part and parcel of Krishna. But in the mundane world, Krishna lets us come here to try to, you know, be Krishna, but we don't make a very good Krishna. We're not very good Krishna, and not only in a marriage, not only do you want to be Krishna, the man, he's thinking, I want to be Krishna, and this is my Radha, but actually, the woman also wants to be Krishna. This is his problem, the head-butting, you know, no one's going to... So our business is to give our affection to Guru, to Krishna, and naturally will be affectionate to everyone. Who can be more affectionate than a devotee who's spreading the glories of Krishna and trying to help these people actually get real life? Real life doesn't exist in this material world. And another point is that we have to become, preaching means fighting, and we have to become strong. It's just something, you know, sometimes people think this is not the process, but it can be strong preaching in a gentle way, maybe, but it has to be strong preaching, because the non-devotees are preaching very strong. The religionists are preaching very, very strong. The scientists are preaching very, very strong. Everyone's preaching strongly out there. The atheists, they're preaching very strong. So they have no, and you know, they're preaching strong, and they have no real shastra on the whole thing. They have no knowledge even on the whole thing. It's all make believe. So at least we should. When they speak like that, we have to challenge them if we're in that situation. As we go through life, we're always meeting people, we're meeting devotees and having problems sometimes, and they need to hear the philosophy again. So there's always opportunities. And if there's no opportunities, we can preach to the walls. Well, he said that thing on Bhaktivinoda, 1 hour of his day, he would walk back and forth on his veranda arguing the different philosophies. He would just be contemplating all the different philosophies. So, not so easy to do, but there's certainly, you know, if we make the effort, there's 24 hours in a day and 7 days a week, and it's going on eternally. So we should utilize some of this unlimited time to hear the glories of the Lord and try to convince other people that such a situation exists. Because it does exist. But Krishna can't reveal himself to us because we're not qualified. We were qualified, he'd reveal himself in a second. It doesn't take long. We know the story. Lord Chaitanya is one of Lord Chaitanya's favorite parts of the Bhagavatam was the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And with his determination, he was able to see Vishnu in a short period of time. Because he was very, very determined. So, and then Prabhupada said that we should become that determined like Dhruva Maharaj, because Dhruva Maharaj took his mother back to Godhead. So Prabhupada said, you should become that determined so you can take me back to Godhead or something, some sentiment to that extent. So everyone's depending upon the devotees. We're all depending upon the devotees. And if the devotees are fired up, then they'll light us on fire too. This is very necessary. Because the material world is a very cold place. This is not a good place. This is a very bad place. And without the devotees of the Lord, it's practically useless. It's a useless place. So by the devotees of the Lord being here, there's some value. I always think, how does this universe, how does this earth planet go on now? You know, there's so much sinful activity, there's so much killing of different creatures, and it's so horrible. So how does it go on? So it goes on because there's devotees. There's some purpose to it. There's devotees to give people a chance for real life. Not that we make up new things where it's okay to kill animals or something like that. They have some quotes. Who knows where they get it from? We had some boy here for the Festival of the Holy Names. He's in the devotees. I guess he's in maybe Atlanta. Anyway, he's an Indian boy, probably about 25. I think he's a druggist, like some of our devotees here too. He's a pharmacist. Anyway, he was a Hindu boy, and he didn't like all this, you know, hodgepodge Hinduism. So he became a Christian, and they trained him up. They trained him up big time. I mean, he was quoting one sloka after the next, and you can see he was still pretty affected by the whole thing. He wasn't like just fired up about being a devotee, but he was still fired up a little bit about Christianity. But anyway, he was quoting something about, you know, it's not what you put into the body that counts, it's what comes out of it. But I was trying to make the point, but it was difficult making the point because another devotee was also a little bit into it. But I was trying to make the point is, how do we know this is bona fide? I mean, some king that likes to eat meat throws that into the Bible, you know? It's not what comes in, it's what comes out. Come on, it's so it actually sounds a little silly, but it's probably not what Jesus was preaching, you know? Jesus was preaching pure Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada describes that in so many places, you know? Not that he was preaching that it's okay to kill. He would always challenge, because that was, you know, why are you killing? That was the first point. Anyway, he became a big Christian, and he was saying one thing, and I could see, he said the preacher was teaching him how to control other people's minds, that you would try to control their minds, and I could see that they wanted some mystic power. This is actually another thing that everyone has to be careful. Krishna has the power. We don't become powerful. Krishna is powerful. So we don't want to develop our own mystic powers to control people's minds. I said to him, okay, once you control their mind, then what you do with them? And he didn't know, because they, you know, joined the Hare Krishna movement now, so obviously it wasn't working that out that great, you know? But that was pretty interesting. He's a Hindu boy, he became a sold-out Christian, and now he's becoming a sold-out Hare Krishna. So it's interesting. We shouldn't think that everyone's eternally going to remain what they are in the material world at this point in time. Everyone can change, just like we changed. Everyone can change. And by Krishna's grace, if they get a little desire to change, Krishna will help them. Krishna will send them in the right direction that they come to this Hare Krishna movement. One time Prabhupada was talking to a couple of his senior disciples, and he said, perhaps we're the only sincere people. And Prabhupada was very humble. He wasn't saying that because he was proud. He's saying it because if you look around, everyone's engaged in unlimited sinful activity. Someone was saying today that most people don't know they're not the body. Most people, 99.99%, most people don't know they're not the body. Where is that teaching anywhere that you're not the body? There's no teaching like that. And then the rules and regulations too. There's no teaching like that anywhere. This is a rare movement, the Hare Krishna movement. And You know, even though there's so many devotees, it's only just a teeny, teeny fraction of the human population on this planet. So there's lots of work to be done. Anyway, I'll end it there. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, Mukunda.
It was really nice of you talking that Hari Katha goes on in the spiritual world eternally.
Very interesting. It's Jiva Goswami's book.
Gopal Jampu. Yeah, it's such a beautiful story that Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, when they were cursed by Nar, they came to Braj as trees, and they stayed in Braj, soaking up the mood of Vrindavan for years and years until Krishna came. When Krishna came and delivered them, once they had darshan of Krishna and all the remembrances of Vrindavan in their heart, though he blessed them and they took their original forms, they were unhappy to become, you know, sons of Kuvera again. So they meditated and they were reborn in Braj as Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, two poets who would daily recite in Nanda Maharaj's assembly in the morning and to the Sakis and Gopis at night.
Is that in the book?
That's in Gopal
Chandra. Later or before?
That's in the beginning.
It's in the beginning. Boy, I must have been nodding off at that part. No, I know they were disciples of Narada Muni. So there's all sorts of nice engagements in the spiritual sky. You always see the gopis coming with plates of prasadam, you know, they're holding it like this, they have a big plate of prasadam, they're bringing it to the different places of pastime. Yes, Mataji, Sri.
Thank you for this very nice class.
Thank you.
I liked what you said about how the material world is dead. And I was wondering two things. One, like most of the people don't see it as such that are out there. And I was just wondering if you had any tips for preaching, you know, to people who they don't see that this is a miserable place.
They will.
Right. You know, I never know whether to like just leave them where they're at or...
Well, that's why we chat and we dance in the street and we pass out literature, you know, and then when people become interested, we can give them more, or Prabhupada can give... Prabhupada even... Oh, that's a good that you mentioned that question, because Prabhupada... It was like a year before things, and somehow or other he stayed, and he was just continuing his program. And it took a while before people came. So we were just listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada. It's very nice. I meant to mention this. So and he was saying, don't be disappointed. Don't be disappointed, because in this world, you know, when we go out to preach, he said, we're going out to preach to cats and dogs. So what will dogs do? They'll just bark. Bark. So we shouldn't be disappointed. But there are people that will take to this movement. We see it day after day after day. There are people joining, or, you know, different ways of getting some benefit of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Our festivals, you know, even here we get thousands of people sometimes for some of the festivals. So everyone's getting some benefit. There's some benefit, so we shouldn't be disappointed. It's going to be a while, because people are thinking they're enjoying. So sometimes, it's like one boy here. He was lamenting, because he's had two girlfriends, and both of them cheated on him. his father was saying, oh, he's so miserable now. I said, oh, that's good. What can you say? He might become a devotee. You know, he might take devotional service more seriously. Because these rules and regulations that we follow are actually the nectar of life. We're not giving up anything. We're giving up our miseries. We're giving up our hellish life. Carvey said a joke that, I don't mind going to hell because all my friends are there. And it's a good joke, but it's also true, you know. And this material world is, at this point in time, Prabhupada said one time that the earth planet is gradually becoming a hellish planet because the consciousness is going down to that level. It's gradually becoming a hellish planet. Anyway, anything else? Take that off. Yes, Jugal Kishore?
No, okay. Thank you. It's a nice lecture. Just a small comment there, because today is so special, very auspicious day, the Gita Jayanti. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in his introduction of his Bhagavad Gita, there's been so many Bhagavad Gitas before, but it hasn't become one single Vaishnava. Now, with the Bhagavad Gita, it's Vaishnavas all over the world. That's Prabhupada's mystical potency. She appreciated that.
Someone was challenging that, just because they changed the Bible, should we throw it away? But the interesting thing is, Prabhupada said that all these Bhagavad Gitas that were mistranslated, they should be thrown away. So, if things are not translated properly, how will there be any benefit from them? So our translations are coming from the pure devotee at this point in time. We're not getting adulterated translations or this and that or the other thing. Anyway, anything else? All glory to Srila Prabhupada.